Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Parkscope Unprofessional Podcast Hour. Joining me tonight is Lane. Lane, how are you doing?
Spectacular, Joseph. How are you tonight?
I'm always doing well when I get to look into your beautiful eyes.
Yeah, we're doing this with video tonight, guys, so if there's a little extra feeling and oomph into it, it's because the Skype has video, which really is just both of our mics and pop mics and beers and then grinning theme park nerds.
Exactly. I'm drinking out of my Teku glass, which is like a solid Cheers. Piece of crystal or something. It's like really cool looking.
It is fancy.
Yeah, and it's like...
How are the tannins? Are they breathing well?
The tannins are breathing well.
Okay.
The aromatics of the beer, the Bulgin Ale, Misk of the Munitar variety, is of bananas.
All sniffing. No drinking yet.
No, I've been drinking a little bit. A little bit of alcohol, a little bit of strawberries.
Strawberries.
Mm-hmm. So it's delicious.
Ooh. Sweet.
Not as good as their Wet When Slippery fruited IPA. This is pretty darn good.
I'm going to have to try these.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I am making it to Ohio this summer, so I just need you to bootleg a cooler down to Cincinnati when I make it that far north and be like, here are all the beers that I want you to try from Michigan and Ohio.
Are you going to Cedar Point?
There's a chance. I've not fine-tuned that trip out.
Okay.
I just blocked out 5 days of driving and roller coaster riding.
Okay. I thought you were going to Cedar Point, so if not, we can always go to Kings Island for that.
Yeah, I'm at least going to Kings Island because I haven't been there before, and I've got to get that coaster count up.
What about Kings Island and Columbus? Because those are like an hour apart. And Mr. and Mrs. Matt have a house in Columbus.
Yeah.
And we
homestays are wonderful.
And we can go to Hoof Hearted in Columbus. And they have a melt in Columbus too. So there's
the only con in this situation is I am taking my 13-year-old cousin. So he might not want to brew tour as hard.
They have sandwiches at Melt, and they have really good food.
That's the good thing about your Lord and Savior, Matt Wiemet, because he takes care of you and puts good beer in his theme parks.
Yes, he does. That is good.
Unnecessary transition. I'm going to Brewfest at Carowinds on Saturday.
Oh, this Saturday. So the 4th.
This Saturday.
Awesome.
So it'll be fun. We talked about that last show.
Yeah, we did, but I forgot it was this Saturday. It's just sad because like I'm going to Chicago. I'm going to be in Wrigleyville, and they closed Goose Island Wrigleyville in December.
Oh, so well, like, luckily you can get Goose Island literally anywhere in the world.
Yeah, now you can.
312 is not just a one place. It's everywhere.
What's the point of 312 or Green Line when they brew it in Indiana or like Iowa? There is no point. Well, 312 was because it's the Chicago wheat beer, and Green Line was brewed because it was only available at bars on the Green Line, Chicago L train line. That's the whole point.
I'm just amazed at Chicago still.
I love Chicago to death. I can't wait.
As I've heard. So our friend Nicholas is not here tonight.
No, he backed out.
He and his wife are taking a shocking, relaxing trip at Universal.
What is this BS about? I was on the carousel and Carousel.
Thank
Sorry.
You. Maybe the best ride at Islands of Adventure after you've spent a little too much time at the watering hole.
Okay, there we go.
Let me finish. And that's the end of the day if you're drinking around Islands?
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to go on Forbidden Journey for sure.
No, you just skip it at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And then just Ollivander's is hysterical.
Yeah. No, just any. Now they have wands. It's really fun just to sit and watch people with the wands.
Mm-hmm. I forget last show. Did I tell you guys that I saw the Tale of the Three Brothers, Beetle the Bard, window display actually work?
No, I didn't know there was a window display.
Yeah, it's when you're looking at Ollivander's, it's the it's that queue. It's that first window on the left. You know, there's the Quidditch, and then there's Beetle the Bard, and you're supposed to do a little spell. And what happens is the book pulls back, and then there's like vignettes that are kind of like stationary and flat, and they all kind of pull back and they show the whole Fountain of Her Fortune tale.
Cool. Like in the window?
Yeah, it's super cool. That's my favorite one so far. So
that
and also the rain one, because you like to see people get wet, you know.
I like the fountainy rain one more than the rain umbrella rain one.
Okay.
Rain umbrella.
You mean the one where you just do the spell and then randomly someone gets shot with like a stream of water?
Yes.
You
know, because the first few times we've done that, it was me, you, and Ashley sitting there at probably 9:30 in the morning.
After I got my wand.
Having breakfast beers.
Yeah.
And just enjoying, like, that one corner Diagon Alley is by far my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
It's got fun spells. It's got the beverages.
Mm-hmm. It's got the shows.
Yep.
It's got all the good stuff.
All the good stuff.
We need some more 9 a.m.s at Hoppin' Pot. Just saying.
Yeah, so, there's a chance.
Sorry.
There's a chance for our Horror Nights trip that I just go to the parks from 9 to about 10:15, and then you just go home. You go back to the hotel. You sleep. You sit at the pool. About 6 or 7 o'clock, you go back out and eat dinner. Get back going on to it.
Mm-hmm.
Dream is possible.
My thing is, like, everyone's talking about, like, hey, we're going to do Halloween Horror Nights, and I'm going to go in the park at 4. And I'm like, that sounds great, but you guys are going there in July. It's like, I haven't been on Hulk. I haven't been on Kong. I'm doing those. I want to do
Diagon. Oh, no. I think we'll be down there for enough time to do all of the things we haven't done in a year and still just take it so easy during the day.
I think we're going to take it easier than we've done before, for sure. Yeah. It's just one of those things where it's like, I'm still going to wake up at 7:30 in the morning and be like, I'm not at a theme park right now. Something is wrong.
Yeah.
So
that guilt that Mike gets at the end of the night at Horror Nights, like, you could still be watching Chainsaw Fire.
Exactly.
Like, no, man, I'm going to go to bed, dude. It's okay.
No, it's like, no, you need to be doing cool things and die from it, or not. You know what I mean?
You need to be high anxiety the whole time. It'll be fun. Like, I'm just going to eat this chicken finger. Go to bed, man.
Yeah. I just want my chicken thumbs with tater tots. All that good jazz.
So
that's
good.
What I need. That's what.
Speaking
I
of chicken fingers, this is really far off now.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley drove back home today, and she drove through a Guthrie's. Have you been to Guthrie's?
I've not heard of Guthrie's.
You've not heard of it? Okay,
no.
I think it is.
All
a
I know
South-
is Raising Cane's.
Okay, Raising Cane's is delicious.
I haven't been
there. And it is in the same vein, but, like, if you can imagine the nesting doll of Raising Cane's and Zaxby's,
mm-hmm.
the even smaller, like, more homemade shop of it, with honestly better fried chicken and an even better special sauce,
mm-hmm.
that is what Guthrie's is.
Interesting. And it's, like, probably just in Atlanta.
No, it's there's not one in Atlanta. It's
mostly, 'cause she was driving back. Okay, yeah.
She was driving back from somewhere else, and it was... Oh, so good. I made her bring me some extra.
That sounds good. So when I'm in Atlanta, can we do Cowfish?
No.
Okay, never mind.
In October, on Sunday, when we're going home, we can do our annual tradition
of
lunch at Cowfish on the way out.
See,
like, like a closing ceremonies of a Parkscope trip.
Yeah. I need to talk to my dad and see if he finally went to Cowfish Atlanta or not. He needs to go to Cowfish. I don't think he went this week. He's in Dallas this week. I think next week maybe he will.
Well, if we... I'd rather take you to Vortex if you're in Atlanta.
Let's go to Vortex.
Vortex, the burgers would be that much better, and you'd get some a little more local flavor.
Yeah, let's do that. Well, we'll have to figure out. We'll figure out something, whatever.
We'll work on it.
This is
you
not
some theme
the
parks
Atlanta
to talk about?
Yeah, we have theme parks to talk about. This is not the Atlanta trip planning podcast.
No, we don't talk about that.
Or my Chicago trip planning podcast. But actually, excuse me. Have you looked at any of the Carowinds menus for the Beer Fest?
Nope, going in blind.
Going in blind, so you don't know who's going to be there? It's going to be, I mean, it's probably going to be Budweiser, Goose Island.
No, I think that they have local stuff. It's from the Carolinas.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm saying, like, they'll have local stuff like we have in Cedar Point, but you're still going to have, like, your domestics.
I bet at this Brewfest there will be less domestics and more the stuff they brew in Asheville.
Cool.
Because Asheville is the brewing capital of the East Coast, like... A lot of the big West Coast breweries have their satellite camps in Asheville because it's got that good mountain water.
So, like, Stone's down there and stuff?
I don't know. I'm going to the Oscar Blues this weekend.
Oh, you are?
A bike ride, yeah. The Oscar Blues in Brevard outside of Asheville. But, yeah, they have a bunch of, like, really good West Coast breweries that have their satellite location so they can just pump out content to the East Coast.
Nice. I mean, Oscar Blues I like, but I mean, they're mostly Columbus, not Columbus, Colorado based.
Yeah.
So, that's good stuff. Awesome. So, we need a full trip report from that. I think next week's going to be all trip reports.
This is just going to be a round table.
It's
going to
be
trip
reports. I mean, we got Sean, who had the back out tonight at the last minute, like, literally the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Like, 8:29 he backed out. Then Nick is going to do his trip report, and then you can do your trip report. Yeah. And then I won't talk about Chicago because it's Chicago, and probably everyone will see my.
And you're not going to go ride roller coasters.
I'm not riding any rides. I'm just.
How far is the Six Flags in Chicago out of the town?
I don't know.
Never even consider going.
Never consider going. I mean, I'm there for a long weekend. Not even a long weekend. I'm there, getting in Friday night, and I'm leaving Sunday. So.
Okay. That'll be fun, though.
Oh yeah, definitely. I'm meeting up with a brother. Meeting up with a bunch of friends, having a good time, seeing concerts, all the fun's being had. So, super excited about that. But let's get into the actual show, shall we?
Yeah, let's bring it.
Yeah, we're really doing the Giant Bombcast tradition of just talking about random stuff at the beginning of the show. Today's Giant Bombcast actually started with a 20-minute discussion on meditation.
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking about how one guy went to a long weekend meditation camp. And, like, they didn't talk the whole time.
Nope.
You're saying, like, oh, it's a long weekend. You don't talk. Sometimes there's ones that are weeks or 3 months.
Nope. Nope.
I'm like, what? What are you doing for 3 months?
That does not bode well for your or my personality.
Not at all.
I'm fine with meditating, but I also talk during it. Like, I can talk and listen, and that's fine. But I could not go to a non-talking retreat.
Yeah, and non-talking structured retreat for 3 months. Meditation, and it's just meditate, eat, meditate,
might as well just be a monk
get up and walk.
At that point.
Exactly. It's like, what are you? This is why we're theme park nerds. We have to do things.
I need hyperstimulation, baby.
We need to be crazy and just do things. Okay. So, last weekend, Animal Kingdom started up all their nighttime offerings.
Whoop, whoop.
Are they calling it Awakened Summer?
Oh, the summer has awakened.
Or is that just the blanket kind of celebration?
The Awakened Summer referenced all of the parks doing something new.
Okay, so this isn't like Awaken the Night or something. It's just Animal Kingdom nighttime stuff.
Yes.
Okay. So, they opened a restaurant, a lounge, upgraded one show for the nighttime, debuted two nighttime shows, and a bunch of, like, dance... I don't want to say dance parties, because that's...
Nighttime entertainment.
Nighttime entertainment.
Like, unstructured nighttime entertainment.
Yeah, dance parties means, like, it's Mickey and Minnie, and they're playing, like,
The Incredibles of Tomorrowland.
Yeah, exactly. So let's start real quick. Let's start with Tiffin's. Tiffin's opened. They showed the menu, which I automatically thought was incredibly expensive, but turns out it's, like, actually priced what normal...
But they have expensive content, correct?
Yeah, like, it's priced like a normal signature restaurant at Disney, so it's not additional. It's priced on the level of Geico,
yeah,
which is still ridiculously expensive, but...
And a little higher than you would go to a place in your hometown and pay for it, but...
And it's
because because they keep all the signatures on the same level, they can go a little higher because none of them outpace or underprice each other.
Yeah, and also they buy the same cuts, you know, that kind of stuff. And, I mean, yeah. I was expecting something... maybe between Geico and Skipper Canteen. So when I saw that was, like, very much Geico or higher, that's kind of threw me, but whatever.
So they borrowed some menu items from Sanaa and from Canteen, correct?
They did not borrow, but let me put it this way. Like, they buy filet mignon in bulk for all their signature restaurants. So they have head-on shrimp at Canteen and Tiffin's, but the Tiffin's presentation and delivery and all that stuff
was
totally different.
Like a signature.
Yes, exactly. It's totally different.
I listened to the show, one of the Disney Dish, and Laurel Jim's partner was like, Lynn's partner was like, it was a signature restaurant on par with all the other wonderful Disney. Presentation, quality, price, they were all on par. It was an honest-to-God signature restaurant, which I think that park needed because... like, this is a place that we wanted to go to. You know, like, I'll go out of my way to go to Geico. People go out of the way to go to Sanaa. Having a nice restaurant in a densely themed place is really good.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something Disney needs to be in the business in because almost nowhere in the world can you go to that Venn diagram of really, really nice but also hyper-themed.
Yeah, and also really expensive.
Yes.
But, so we had some friends go down there, who I will not name, who were at Tiffin's this weekend. And I was talking to this friend a little bit, and I basically came up with the coin term Carthay Circle East, and this person agreed with me on it. It sounds like it's on the same level of Carthay Circle in terms of quality, in terms of presentation, in terms of service, which is a very big high standard. That, you know, the service is really, really, really good. Very attentive, very well done. The food is fantastic. I'm mixed on the theming.
I would argue the food is the theming.
I mean, it looks good, but the thing is that there's nothing spectacular about it. It's like, look at Wires. Aren't Wires awesome? And there's some Imagineering.
I'm going to disagree with you in there, because I don't think any of that stuff actually matters.
Maybe not. And also, I've only seen photos, so I cannot comment.
Yeah, and we haven't been there yet.
But
we're just guessing.
Yeah, and I'm comparing this to, like, other signatures I've been to, like Citricos, California Grill, Gico, all those places.
Some of those are killer, and some of them are just weird. You know, like Old California Grill, Old Flying Fish. Some of them are almost bland. Gico's like not that, but it's like weird modern meets insert style here.
But because that's what they think high-end restaurants are. Has the view.
Yeah, Narcoosi's has the view.
And so does Citricos. And Gico has a view of all the animals, which...
Last time I went to Gico, the view was the side of a pool.
No, it's not. I mean, they got the water there, but it's not the side of a pool. It overlooks the savanna, man. I got it.
I've never been to Gico and it overlooks the savanna. I guess I've always sat in weird corners. But, like, you're sitting in a wine room. It looks like a wine room. I appreciate that there's a wine room. Thanks for sitting 12 people at this table and serving us all delicious food.
Okay.
So if that's what Tiffin's is hitting, then this is awesome.
My problem with Gico is, like, we would go with our family friends the past two times, and it was, like, a group of, like, 20, 25 people. And instead of booking, like, five people rooms, they're, like, 20 people or, you know, 25 people. So we're stuck in that stupid wine room.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, we're like, no, don't do that. We just break up the tables and put people all together in the main room. And it looks so cool. And our food will come out when it's done instead of trying to prepare 20 people's dishes at once.
25 meals at once, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, and it's totally lost. And I'm like,
You got to outsmart them there.
Oy. Yeah, I know. We should just book the reservations, but whatever. Hey, we got my favorite wine, so I can't complain. Anyway, Tiffin sounds really good. My interest died down a bit after I saw the prices and the menu. Now it's peaked up again. I'm excited.
Yeah, I think it's something that you would plan out. You know, somebody in our age bracket would plan out in advance. You know, that would be your splurge of the trip. Like, instead of doing a night show, or maybe even, you know, if you were at Disney and you didn't have a Universal Pass, instead of going over to Universal for a day, that's your $150 excursion for the night.
Oh, yeah.
And you take 3 hours and you soak every second of it. And, like, that's what those signatures are for.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling you before the show that I'm honestly considering having a Tiffin's trip. Is doing, like, a day down, day back, stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge, have Tiffin's reservations, go watch all this nighttime stuff at Animal Kingdom, and come home.
That sounds really good. I mean, that's a lot of money for me.
Yeah, but I mean, Southwest from Atlanta is pretty cheap. I can use points even, and then you're paying a AP rate.
But then it's still
for the lodge room, and you don't stay. So that's a little bit.
You have Disney Annual Pass.
Yeah,
I don't.
Yeah, yeah. So because I have a pass, this is a feasible 1 or 2 day trip.
Yes, that is a very feasible trip. I was looking at, like, hey Joe, you need to buy that $100 Animal Kingdom day pass. I'm like,
yeah.
Well,
and you
now,
don't get to split.
In addition to going to Tiffin's, you should probably also hit up Nomad Lounge.
Oh.
See, look at that segue right there.
I wish it was the Noma Lounge. That way we could just have Garcia Parra there and just turn in double plays. Jeez. Nothing.
Yeah, baseball jokes.
So, I haven't seen anything from the Nomad Lounge except that they have a Kungaloosh beer.
Brian,
and it is also an amber.
Yeah, Brian at Orlando United did a write up.
Friend of the show.
Yep. Just friend.
Okay.
Yeah,
friend.
He's just a friend. So Nomad Lounge offers half a dozen small bites and crafted cocktails. There's an indoor part that has some banners and overlooks the bar. It's really loungy-like, kind of like an upscale hotel, it looks like, but, like, really good. And then there's an outside part that overlooks the river facing where Avatar Land will go, including that old dragon waterfall. Remember that?
Nope.
You don't remember that?
No.
Oh, when you're going to Camp Mini Mickey or when you're on Discovery Riverboat, you could see
I honestly missed that.
Okay. I'll send you a photo of it, but anyways, there's a waterfall of it. So
there's a gap in my Disney knowledge that happened at that point.
Ah, okay. Understandable. So there's a bunch of new beverages. He tried out the him and his wife tried out the Annapurin Zing, the Snow Leopard Salvation, Lambu Libation, and their special brew, the Kungaloosh Spiced Excursion Ale. What's interesting about the Kungaloosh Spiced Excursion Ale is it does not sound like it's exclusive to Nomad Lounge. It sounds like it's available like at the brew pub of this place that made the beer and a bunch of other things. It's a brew pub that's owned, I think, by Miller Lite and like Miller, and they make Miller beers there too, so it's weird. Brian did not like the beer. It's a spiced beer, and it also doesn't sound like it's very good, but again, I haven't tried it yet, so I can't comment on it. But the other three mixed drinks he said was great. And they also tried two appetizers, the summer rolls and the Indian butter chicken wings. His main complaint was like the butter chicken wings are $10 and he got three of them. So that's kind of nuts.
Yeah. I also heard the rumblings of that. They're small plates and you can get bar food, but man, it is small.
That's taking small plates to a new level.
So what can you compare the size of Nomad to? Is it smaller than TuneIn? Is it like Victoria Falls size? Is it, which bar would you compare it to? Like bigger than Meisner's?
So according to Brian at Orlando United, there's 55 seats inside and 46 seats on the covered outdoor area. So, I think Trader Sam's seats
55, right?
It seats like 52, but I think it's less than that. Like, it fits 52. So, it may seat like 40 inside. And then, I'm not exactly sure the comparisons, but it looks similar to Misner's inside.
Okay.
So, there you go. Nomad, I'm excited to try Nomad, definitely. I don't know, like, if I'm alone on a trip, I would definitely hit up Nomad for, like, a small plate or two and then a drink over Tiffin's.
Over dropping $70-$80 on dinner at Tiffin's.
Oh, at least $70 or $80. But that's just me. Anyway, that's Nomad Lounge. Next up is the Nighttime Safaris. So Nighttime Safaris is a little different. What they did was they changed up some of the animals on the tour. They also shortened the tour. Like, you go over like a hill instead of going around a bunch of stuff, and you cut out like some of the daytime parts. And then in addition to that, they added fake animal noises, additional lighting, and including the fake sunset thing.
The fake sunset LED screen.
Yeah, exactly. It's giant LED screen off in the distance, which is really, really kind of bizarre.
Yeah, and apparently it's on the other side of your car. So, like, big LED screen, safari van, animals.
You know when you're coming into the African savannah?
Yes, past the baobab tree.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it on your left?
It's on your left. So all the animals are on your right, so it's on your left. So that's where that's located. And I think the general consensus I've heard so far on the Nighttime Savannah tour is that it's mixed. Is like, I've heard people say, hey, I saw as many animals as I see during the day or even more, and there's new things to do. And then I hear negative things like, hey, there's way less to do. It's a shorter tour and you and it just everything looks weird. It's just like really fake lighting and nothing works. So it's this weird, it's a really, really mixed reception. I think the general consensus is, hey, you like if you like Kilimanjaro Safaris,
go, it'll be a good time.
Go ride it. You may like this one, you may not like it. If you don't like Kilimanjaro Safaris, this will not change your opinion. And if you've never ridden Kilimanjaro Safaris, go during the day. So
yeah,
that seems to be the general consensus on that one. Any thoughts, Lane?
I agree with you. Cool. That I mean, I'm a huge fan of the safari.
Yeah.
I could probably ride it 3 or 4 times a day, and it would just be fun. And, you know, it's I like the open air and the wind blowing through, and I like the bumpy car. So the fact that you can do it again that night is going to be wonderful. And, you know, it'll be one of those times where I foresee on a trip just getting a beer or, you know, hey, we're already hanging out in the dark here. Let's just get in this line, 65-minute wait, and then we'll get to ride the safari at the end of it.
Yeah.
We get to go hang out with some white rhinos. Like, that's going to be really fun.
Exactly. So next up on the list is the Trio Life Show. This is a nighttime projection show. It's called the Trio Life Awaken Show because everything has to awaken.
Listen, now. When they get a name they like, they run with it.
We're finally awake. We see how Harry Potter did, guys. We're awake now.
No, Awakens is a Star Wars reference.
Yeah, no, it's,
everything is Luke Skywalker.
It's a euphemism also.
Everything is Kylo Ren.
So this show is a projection show onto the Trio Life. There are it's a 5-minute show, and there are 4 different shows that are featured, according to this. There's a Finding Nemo, a Lion King, other animal species found throughout the park, and then an Avatar show. The Avatar one reportedly only shows as the last show.
So yeah, it's like a glance on the way out or something.
Yeah, exactly.
But it is cool. That's another thing we forgot to talk about when talking about Nomads and Tiffins, is apparently Nomads and Tiffins back up right to the construction fence going into Avatar.
Yeah.
World of Pandora.
Yeah. It's just right there. It's where Pizza Far used to be.
Yeah. That's like that. And that'll be a wonderful thing for adults to have when people are pouring into Avatar mm-hmm. from lunchtime to nighttime.
Definitely.
When they go ride Tower of Terror from 9 to 10:15, and then they go to this park all afternoon.
Yes. yes. So anyway, this show seems to be getting universal praise.
Which is crazy.
I don't think it's crazy.
I do.
Do
people like projection shows?
For 2 reasons. First of all, they're not really promoting this show like they are Jungle Book or even any of the other editions. Like you have them like making like saying things around. They're saying things where ride Everest. It's a totally different experience at night. So is every other roller coaster. I mean, why are you saying these things? It's just known.
Which I think I don't know if that's any designer or planner's fault. I think that's just how the marketing spends it. And marketing was clearly revved up to knock out, here's what Rivers of Light is like.
And
this park is different at night. Rivers of Light's awesome. And then it wasn't ready.
Yep.
So they just had to talk up other stuff. But I just don't think that they even planned. And I still, in my head, don't see how there's enough room to have a real show there. Like, I guess it's just like Small World in Disneyland, where there's some space
mm-hmm.
to watch a show.
Well, I think the 2 reasons why, yeah, again, I don't think it's hyped as much as, like, the castle show was. The castle show had, like, show times and, you know, all this stuff. And also, like, it focused on other people.
Does the Tree Awakens not have show times?
My understanding that it like happens every 10 minutes. It doesn't have show times.
So it's Bellagio Fountains on a loop?
Yeah, kind of.
I like that more, actually.
The other reason why is that, again, that my understanding is that it doesn't have show times. I'm not sure. I haven't seen the park maps. The other reason why I think the show is getting positive reviews is because there's no BS around it. There's no FastPass Plus. There's no getting into an amphitheater. There's no waiting for this. There's nothing. You're there. You see it. You move on. And if you don't see it, you don't see it. You'll probably see one, but you'll always move on. And I think that really plays into the Animal Kingdom, you know, discovery aesthetic that they're trying to go for.
Just walk up on it. Like, hey, we found this thing, and a deer came out of the tree. So the GP's going to come in and be like, oh, this was really cool. This tree changed. Or even, like, it'll be one of those things where the parents are trying to walk back to one of the rides or something, and then a kid will be the one that sees it, and the tree will come alive. Like, that's a very exciting thing.
Exactly. And the point is that, like, hey, there is no expectations going into this. Like, they're very low, and you're going to exceed them. And they were exceeded. So good on them. I really think that's a really good addition. There you go. So there's other also dance events. Nighttime shows, like music and stuff throughout, I think, Africa, at least, and Discovery Island. Is there anything in Asia you can think of?
No.
Yeah, same.
Or is... there might be more sideshow entertainment.
Yeah.
But I think Asia is the part they're not prepping up for this.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny, because I bet the tigers are wonderful at night.
Well, also, they probably want to get everyone out of Asia so they can cue everyone up for the nighttime show.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's talk about Jungle Book. Jungle Book Alive with Magic, yes.
Jungle Book Turn Off the Dark?
Yeah, Jungle Book Snuff Out the Light. That's a deep reference for anyone who gets that. So this is the replacement show for Rivers of Light, because Rivers of Light is not ready. So let's talk real quick about Rivers of Light. I believe Rivers of Light had two issues. I believe there's technical issues, and I believe there are creative issues. I'm willing to bet that creative issues would have been swept under the rug if the technical issues were taken care of. And they weren't taken care of. So what I believe happened...
So you're saying that if the technical issues were taken care of, the show would have run at a 6 out of 10, kind of boring, kind of mediocre...
Maybe.
For a year or two, and then they could have pulled it out and do something different.
Maybe. I don't know what the original show was like, because we haven't seen it yet. So I won't say how good it was. But there won't be any meddling with the show like there was World of Color, necessarily. Because World of Color notoriously got chopped up, remixed, new things added. Based upon what Iger wanted. Now it sounds like since there's a delay for... So what I imagine happened was that there was a technical delay for Rivers of Light, and there was issues with the creative content, and they both happened at the same time. And what then decided to happen was, hey, the show is now indefinitely delayed for two reasons, but the creative side leaked the content changes first. So those people started complaining first before
the technical people. But it made them see... It made it seem like it was their fault. Like it was a creative struggle, not a technical struggle.
Exactly. Well, I mean, a creative struggle as in, hey, we want this awesome new nighttime show. Bob Iger wants to throw in every character an animal.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So I think there's going to... When this show opens, whenever it opens... Remember, it is now June, and we don't have that update that was promised by mid-May for World of Color, Rivers of Light. This show is opening in September or October. I called it a while ago. It's September, October. What I think is happening is they're adding characters, they're redoing the whole show, and they're completing the final technical stuff for this show. So there you go.
Are the screens struggling?
Well, the problem with the screens is like, with a screen, you have to have focal length. And when you... And, like, normal Fantasmic screens, you know, it's just, like, the jet of water and it kind of sprays out like this.
Yes.
So it pretty much stays constant.
It fans out, correct?
Yeah, it fans out. So it stays at a constant kind
of
distance.
And that's what the World of Color fountains do.
Yes, that's true. And that's kind of that constant distance between the projector and the water.
Where you want to do projecting.
Exactly. And that's the issue they had with the giant Chernabog that would come up. And it was this giant figure that would come out of the water, and like rain curtains would come down, and they would project stuff on it. The problem was the figure wouldn't work, and also the projections didn't look good, so they just removed it from the final show, and they just used water screens for the Chernabog. So what World of Color does for their water screens is they just have this giant like fire hose of water going in from like land into the lagoon there, and then they project stuff on it. And the problem is like you get any wind and that focal length is off like crazy. Like you're seeing nothing, you're seeing blurry stuff, it's fine. Who knows?
I've seen some windy World of Colors where you're like, okay, that's what was supposed to happen, but you know, the winds over the Santa Ana just change whenever they want to, and it just throws it off.
Yeah, exactly. And and I think that's the issue that they're having with World of Colors. Like, hey, our water screens are terrible, and we built this show on water screens.
You know what they should do instead? You know what's better than water screens?
What?
Drone screens.
The first drone show. There we go.
Drone screens are coming. Coming to Epcot 2024.
Or whenever it gets built. Who knows?
Whenever Epcot gets built.
Who knows when this is going to return its ROI, so that's when Epcot's getting their stuff. But anyway, the Jungle Book show seems like it's getting some pretty... When I say that the nighttime show is getting mixed reactions, it was getting mixed reactions. I've seen some legitimate complaints and some legitimate compliments. The only compliments I see are, it was thrown together at the last minute. Eh.
That's not a compliment.
My problem with that is, who gives a shit? When you have these people who are spending thousands of dollars to fly to a resort.
Price is still the same whether you give us a really high quality or this medium quality.
And then also...
And you're still charging like it's really
And then
really
also
hot.
Making them do a Fast Pass Plus for it and make them wait and all that stuff. And it's just... Look, if they did this show like in Asia and they did like projection mapping on some buildings, it'd probably be the best show there. But they wanted to put everyone way far away with these really bad water screens, and it doesn't look good. Understand what I'm trying to go with this? Like, if it was intimate, it'd be really good. But it's not. You're sitting on benches.
You tried to make it big because you had to make a big bowl.
Yeah, and you're sitting hundreds of feet away.
And they're still doing three shows a night, man.
Yeah. So if if this was an intimate, like, close-range show, it would be killer, I think.
Their mistake was doing screens at all. This should have just been World of Color East. Call it Animal Worlds of Color. Just do a Bellagio fountain show with some light. It's literally called Rivers of Light. That would have been perfect. But you want to do screens and you want to do characters and boats, and you can do that, but it's still just like exhausting. And why would you do characters if you weren't going to do the characters that you have the license to do?
Well,
Disney.
Well, I mean, the original World of Color, not World of Color, sorry, Rivers of Light show has no characters in it. None.
The pre-April version?
Well, the as-designed version, let's put it that way.
Okay.
There are boats that come out with projection screens on them, but these projection screens are very small.
Did those come out on this incarnation of the show?
No.
Okay.
They were shown... You can find video of them from, like, March.
Are those the Lotus Pods?
No. These are, like, boats with lanterns on them and stuff.
Okay.
But you can find video of them. I'll send you... Afterwards. I'll send you.
Boats.
It's Boaty McBoatface. It's Lighty McLightface. It's River McRiverface.
So Rivers of Light is as expected... It'll open in September or October. I'll see it when I see it. I would go out of my way. I would fly from my house to eat at Tiffin's, and I will see Rivers of Light when I see it. Those are my levels of excitement for these two projects.
I am confident that they can build a decent show around Rivers of Light. My issue always is how much time and money is it going to take to finally get there? And then once that happens... How many projects is Walt Disney Imagineering going to present, and Disney going to go, no, you didn't do well with Rivers of Light, so we're just gonna ignore you,
which is true. I don't think the B team gets another chance after this.
Well, not just that, but it's like, hey,
especially considering old Stevie D is booked up 3 or 4 shows in advance already.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we didn't get the same ROI we wanted on Everest, so all these other projects, nah, we don't need them.
Or y'all went over budget on this one, you don't get the chance to not go over budget again. Or the next time they go price something, their price is going to be that much higher because they have to factor in, oh, we didn't get it right the first time. We had to double it back for 4 months of not making money on the show.
Exactly, and that's why I think they had to do the Jungle Book show, and that's like, why they had to do stuff.
If this was a real company, they would go under. This is a real engineering design firm, it would go under.
Because, and also, like, all this design stuff is based around this RO. This is literally, to the nutshell, down to the California Adventure model. It really is.
Let's see how cheap we can do it and still call it a nighttime spectacular.
No, it's not even cheap. What it is this is the California Adventure model. You add a high-end restaurant, you upgrade some of the facilities.
Oh, you're saying the 2.0 is the DCA 2.0 playbook.
The DCA,
I thought you were saying that
not
the
original.
Rivers of Light was DCA 1.0 model,
no.
And I'm like, yeah, it might be.
Now,
give them a cheap shell and say it costs the same as everything else.
Now, DCA 1.0 added more. I mean, 2.0 added more. But what this is right now is, hey, we have half a new ride. We have a few new shows kind of around the area. A new nighttime show and a new high-end restaurant. That'll get the money flowing. So when we add the new land, that'll get everything going.
No, it is 100% the DCA 2.0 playbook. But the problem, you know what I would say that they messed up? Is what happened in DCA the first summer of DCA 2.0. They opened their restaurant. They opened their entrance area. They opened a water show. You know what else they opened in that handful?
Mermaid.
Dark Ride.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They'd have thrown Mystic Manor in this round. No one would be complaining. This would be one of the better theme parks in the entire world.
Exactly.
And then you have as much time as you want to do your nighttime show. You have as much time as you want to do your $1.5 billion land.
And that's what's interesting is, like, Animal Kingdom is a better park than California Adventure. That's not
better bones.
And that's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is what California Adventure offered was just a bunch of noise. Like a full day's worth of noise. Animal Kingdom offers...
Animal Kingdom is dense and educational.
A day of really good entertainment.
Yeah.
So what has to happen is you have to add another half a day of really good entertainment instead of replacing noise with actual substance.
You know what you could also do?
What?
Double down on the noise!
Yeah, the animals will love that.
Give me some more wild mouses.
Animals really love that.
Or wild mouse roller coasters.
No, we do not need that.
Okay, agree to disagree.
So,
what's next on our rundown, buddy?
You want to do some questions?
Oh, yeah, this will be fun. I'm blind to this.
Excuse me.
Except for the OU guys being goofy, Drew and Brian.
Mm-hmm. So, the first one we got is from an email, actually. It was about a month ago almost, so sorry about that. I was doing a little conversation with Peter Page on our email conversation. So send us an email, parkscopeblog@gmail.com. And he said there are roughly 7 expansion pads left in Epcot's World Showcase from Frozen opening. With Frozen opening, sorry. What would you put in them what would you put in them if you carte blanche?
Yeah, in the Epcot expansion pads?
Yeah. His choice is Remy's, Paris.
Okay.
Russian Pavilion, Brazil, Australia, India, Egypt, and Greece.
All right, that was 6. I was going to let us do 3, and that way we could actually make up an answer. My 3 expansion pads are always at Epcot. B&M Hyper, Tour of the World. Already got that planned. You can either go around the back or over the top of the entrance. Like over the International Gateway, and then not over the International Gateway, right where the front two stores sit. You just put your hyper in there, let it peak, it'd be wonderful. I agree with Remy, 100%, slap that right in. And then I would take one of the Future World pavilions or Future World expansion pads and make the Disney World's Fair pavilion. And you put Small World, you put Carousel of Progress.
Yeah.
That's what I would do.
Meh.
Yeah, you got a fun dark ride, World Showcase. You put a roller coaster in, and you move Carousel of Progress and Small World, and maybe dinosaurs over into that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your third thing. And then you keep Disney History and open up plenty of Magic Kingdom.
Okay. You may want to turn your video off.
If they put how awesome would it be if the Frozen ride would have gone in where there Small World was? And maybe not the same setup, but
I mean, I have
that stuff needs to be Epcot.
I just have an issue with It's a Small World going into Epcot in World Showcase.
It's the entrance to Tomorrowland.
But even then,
did you not see the movies?
It's boy.
You gotta wear the pants, man.
So for my expansion pad ideas,
I get three.
Man, that coaster is not a great idea.
Okay. So you're vetoing one of mine. Is that one of your three options?
No, I'm just going to let that slide. Excuse me. So I think I don't like Greece at all. They won't afford to actually do a pavilion.
You could do Ancient Greece.
Yeah, but who would pay for it?
Disney.
I don't see Russia. I could see Brazil, but the problem is, like, why would they do that?
They're also not doing great. I think some of the Caribbean nations are more likely to go in. Like, I think Puerto Rico's kicked on the door a few times, and that would be wonderful to have a Puerto Rican pavilion.
Yeah, but that's also, like, America, so there you go.
Why do you hate America, Joe?
I don't know.
He also hates Lin-Manuel Miranda, so.
Well, I don't blame him.
Oh, those are hot takes coming in early from our friend Michael. Michael, how's it going tonight, buddy?
I'm good. I don't dislike the man. I think it's just too much now. Like, I've had enough of.
Okay.
You don't blame him. You blame his followers.
Yeah. Like, I don't blame Chewbacca Mom, but I blame the hype surrounding her now. Like, it's just like, okay, it's enough. We've seen it. We get it. It was funny. She was adorable when it happened. But now it's like, okay, it's too much.
I think the problem with Lin-Manuel Miranda is freaking Disney.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're going to write our music. He wrote the Cantina song for Star Wars. They have him doing, what's the second one? Oh, he's in Mona. And he's starring as Bert.
No, he's not.
And like, you know, a new really
character. He's a new character in Harry Potter.
Yeah, they didn't go that far.
Oh, it's not Bert?
It's a new character.
Yeah, they didn't know.
Okay. It's one of those things that's cool, like energy in a bottle, and the big companies try to take and make money off of it. And that is not cool. That makes it less cool. Sorry.
Yeah. So my three additions, I think, would just be expansions of existing pavilions. I think you could do expansion of England. I think you could do an expansion of France, and you can do an expansion of China pretty easily. Or you can even do it for any of the pavilions, because I'm really racking my brain to think of anything that we could really expand upon. Well, anything we could add new because of various reasons.
There's all the ones you say. Well, this is an obvious choice. There's a hurdle.
Yeah. Massive hurdles.
Or not enough crossover. Like, Australia and New Zealand would be cool, but there's not enough crossover.
I think Russia.
Why would Russia do that?
I just don't see them promoting something so American at Disney World.
Because have you seen who's in charge of their country? He has a big ego, and he would just enjoy the attention, I believe.
Okay.
Like, so he could ride on the triple-decker bus and World Showcase shirtless. I think he'd love it.
What if the dark ride was on carousel horses, but they were actual horses? And topless Vladimir Putin was just riding horses with us.
Okay. That'd be great.
Oh, boy.
Well, we all have our fishing shirts on.
Oh, I'm into that.
What are you, my tumblers?
What's our next question, Joseph?
Okay, so now we're going to Twitter. Thank you, Twitter.
We love Twitter.
Let's answer some Twitter questions.
Good.
First question from Mike Perry. Also asks, when will I be on the Unirail to the third park?
Soon, bro.
Oh,
soon.
We didn't even mention that.
It's coming.
There might be closed circuit transport.
Woo-hoo!
Mike, what are you doing?
I'm,
Are you sanding?
Sanding, yeah.
Okay.
That's what they call
it
nowadays.
That was the best case scenario.
Yes, you are sanding. That's definitely what you're doing.
Let me take a picture.
Okay.
Yeah, so send us a picture, Mike, of you sanding.
Yeah. Okay.
I hope Ann's not mad.
So he's asking about the Unirail, as in the Disney monorail. The Universal monorail to get back and forth to parks. I think it's entirely possible.
To get between the resort properties.
Yeah.
I think it's possible, but is it likely? I don't know.
Yes.
We'll see. Who knows what they can pull off?
What's happening?
Clearly, you can get permission to do anything you want in that stretch of Orlando.
Yes.
Speaking of, how Skyplex?
I know where their bread's buttered.
How's Skyplex coming?
Yeah.
They were doing survey work, allegedly.
Do they have 600-foot balloons up?
They can't afford the balloons yet.
Hey, man. Listen, you don't even understand how Ponzi schemes work, Joe. You have to get money from one person and you give it to the next person for more money.
Ah.
There you go. Do-do-do-do.
All right, what you got next?
So, what's going on in the chat?
Oh, all right, we have a friend that might join us.
Right now?
There's a chance. He said 5 minutes, a few minutes ago.
Should I call him? Let's see if
you
he's
can.
On. He's not on right now.
Okay. So, if he appears, give him a call.
Okay, so never mind then. Next question comes from friend of the show, Derek Bergen, and just general friend. Derek Woo-hoo! Bergen. Sapphire Falls opens a little over a month. What part of the resort are y'all looking forward to most?
What is it
water.
Called?
Is water a cop-out answer? I have a three-part answer to water.
Yeah, we know why.
Okay, so one, the water transportation is going to go past Royal Pacific at the Jimmy Buffett abandoned plane. And it's going to come right to the hotel. So I don't have to walk. Well, y'all are walking from Cabana Bay. Me and Mike are just going to be chilling on our boat, cruising in.
Okay.
Number two, there's going to be a bunch of waterfalls. Everybody loves waterfalls. You know where they put the Polynesian waterfall? They put it at Sapphire Falls. It's called Falls. Number three, the pool is going to be huge. The whole thing's a pool.
Logic.
I just imagine like a triple wilderness lodge.
Strong Water Tavern.
There you go.
Okay. That also had the word water in it. That was my fourth point.
That's what I was thinking about with Strong Water.
No, I wasn't even thinking about that. It's going to be fun. They gave me $150. Thanks, Universal. Oh, man, his picture is so good. I've only talked to him on the phone. Okay. So you want to introduce our friend?
Hi, Brian.
I was told I can only join if I do a Quahog accent, so...
No, stop that.
That's all I needed. I just needed one.
Here I am for the rest of your podcast day to give my thoughts and opinions.
So what do you think about Sapphire Falls? What are you most excited about?
The bar.
Just the bar?
There you go.
Is it going to be... Which side of the resort is it going to be on? Do we have like a diagonally resort map yet?
Not yet, but I would think it's going to be towards where the lobby area is.
Okay.
So it'd be like...
I think in the UO passport, didn't they talk about having a balcony overlooking the water? Their ceviche bar thing.
Well, the ceviche bar is strong water, so...
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Awesome.
It's going to be a good time. Brian, you staying there? You got resis yet?
He's a local now.
I'm a local now.
you don't need to pay for a BS $250 hotel room?
Nah, not anymore.
You just Uber it there.
Oh, that's awesome. I just thought how great would it be after Horror Nights, just $12 Ubers home.
That'd be dangerous. Actually might stay on site for Horror Nights, but that's for Cabana because it's Bay.
Yeah, of course.
It's the best Horror Nights crash pad.
Mm-hmm. Next question comes from USH Today. Thoughts on Wanda Group challenging Disney in China? This comes on the heels of Wanda Group basically being like, yeah, our public areas just have stormtroopers running around and Captain America and Snow White. It's Who cares? Literally, and Disney Snow White.
Yeah. And it's not like you can go, no, Chinese government, you can't do that. Because they own you, not the other way around.
That's right.
They don't have contracts or patent law or... I'm unsure how their legal system works. If we had a lawyer, he could tell us, but...
Mm-hmm.
They have a similar system to Louisiana.
So chaos and guns? And gators?
Shoot them!
No.
Yeah.
A very sophisticated civil law legal system.
Yeah, clearly.
Do they have parishes?
No.
Yeah. Remember, this was the place that Apple wasn't given rights to use iPhone. So there you go. Next question, Brian. This one's for you. This is from Sheehy. He asks, at Disney, would you be happy to pay $3.33 per chicken wing like most bloggers?
Oh.
I was left dissatisfied.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about your Nomad visit. Do you want to talk more about that in person?
Oh, but what did you cover?
He read off your review. It was like an entire paragraph of, here's what Brian thought of the situation.
Well, I didn't know. I paraphrased it. I didn't read the whole review. I had some other things that we talked about in private. But I just basically said what drinks you had and what food you had and what your thoughts were. So do you want to go into it a little more?
Yeah, I guess. It's putting me on the spot.
Yeah, there you go.
It's our show.
Well, with the chicken wing, I didn't read ahead and notice that there was only three. So when we ordered it, we thought maybe it'd be like at least five or six based on other restaurants they have
four.
Of similar areas. Yeah. So when we got it, we were a little disappointed. We also got the veggie summer rolls, and those were only two. So for $17, we got five bits of food. Jeez. So it tasted good, but I can't justify anybody spending $10 for three wings. Especially when, because I just came home from eating wings for $10, and that was 10.
Yeah.
So, but the Nomad Lodge itself was actually really, really nice. It's a nice little area. What Avatar Construction's done, it's going to be really nice. There's construction walls, you know, the Camp Mini Mickey Bridge that they had? Mm-hmm. That's all walled off, so you can't really see anything. So it kind of feels...
Is it close?
Not nice. It's like right... Where we sat, right next to
Saki?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like right next to it. Basically, you have Tiffin's right there, and then to the left of it is Nomad's Lounge, and then on the outside is like a half-circle balcony seating. So once the construction is done, because they still had the water barrier set up and some screens were up and all that, it wasn't really an inviting atmosphere. But the drinks, though, were fine. I think the most expensive one was the Lamu Libation, which was $12. That's because there was a lot of alcohol in there.
Yeah.
But
awesome.
But the Annapurna-zing, I think that's what it is, Annapurna, that was $7. And that was basically like a...
Anandapur?
No. It's Annapurna. You want to say Anandapur, but it's not.
Okay, but it is not.
It is not. It was $7, and that was basically like a Moscow Mule with guava. Was, I guess, the best way to put it.
Okay. I can see that.
And then the Snow Leopard Salvation. That's like a mojito and a mule fused.
Huh.
If that makes sense.
So that's pretty cheap. Like,
yeah.
If your most expensive drink is $12, I'm not mad.
Yeah, drinks were not a problem. It's the food.
Okay.
In fact, the trackers, they were telling me they ordered dessert. And they were thinking, because it says like a sampler, so they were thinking a good, you know, four different kind of portions of dessert. Mm-hmm. And it's basically one chocolate bar with four little drizzles of different purees and syrups.
Yeah, sometimes food gets like theme park fine dining, but if it gets more fine than theme park, You're like, oh, I kind of wanted 20 chicken wings right now. Or, man, a plate of curly fries would be really good. And you gave me one chocolate bar with some drizzles?
And that was $20, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
Okay.
Okay.
It's hard to change gears.
What's the verdict on the Kungaloose beer?
Did you drink it?
Yeah, I had a sip of it. Tim actually ordered it. It's okay. I wasn't a fan of it, but then again, it's like 93 degrees, and to me, when I have a spiced beer, I don't want to drink that when I'm sweating profusely.
You said to me it wasn't very good, so that's what I said on the show.
Yeah, it's there.
It exists.
I mean, and I like Concrete Beach Brewery. They're new. They I don't know if you
went to that.
They actually kind of are. The way it works is Concrete Beach is a branch of Alchemy and Science, and Alchemy and Science is a brewery that goes to regions and base their brews on certain regions. Just happens to be the first one they opened up was in Miami.
Okay.
And that's based on Miami flavors. But the guy who's behind it was the same guy behind Magic Hat.
Which a lot of their beers are kind of spicy and weird.
Yeah.
Well, good. Okay.
Cool.
You see the tree show?
That tree show is probably what saved my night.
Wow. Saved the whole night.
Well, I saw Jungle Book. So that really...
I didn't even ask about that.
Yeah, you see Jungle Book, and I'm sure you saw on Twitter 10 minutes in, I was like, this is terrible. This is really bad. So it made me happy to see the Tree of Life show again. It's just fun. It's hard to just it's really simple, but it just makes you laugh. It makes you smile. It sounds really cheesy, but it's the Disney you like. World. Yeah.
Okay.
Questions?
I'm good.
Okay.
Mike?
I'm good.
You still sanding, bro?
I'm holding off, so I don't aggravate you.
Okay, thank you for holding off sanding your wood. Next question comes from John. He asks, why is Universal Counter Service food so bad?
They just don't have an emphasis on it.
Well,
it is.
Do you know what? But here's the thing. I would say that the like standard theme park fare is pretty bad, but if you go to the special places, it's pretty good, if not the best.
Universal doesn't have any walk-up good food.
When
there's a 30-minute line to get into the Simpsons food court, you're not getting much.
Wow, hot takes.
I've run into that before.
Well, I mean,
where you're like, yeah.
Let me rephrase the question. Why is the two places in Marvel bad? Why is the one place that's only open in Toon Lagoon bad? Sorry, Derek Bergen.
But who cares?
Yeah, I don't think that matters. I don't think it matters to them either. That's not a point of emphasis for them.
Well, no, I do think it matters now. There is a point of emphasis on it. When they redo things, they do it well, and they do it quality. It's just they haven't gotten to those parts yet. So as Marvel goes down piece by piece and gets refurbished, I believe you'll see a quality offering in that land.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, other than the obviously Simpsons and Harry Potter, Louis Pizza is okay to me. That's the only theme park pizza I can stomach. I eat a pizza anywhere else in the theme park, and I'm on the toilet for the rest of the day.
What about when did
Andy get on the show?
Yeah, I know.
Oh God. What about the Jurassic Park place? The one that's near Kong. That one's pretty good.
It's pretty much identical to Three Broomsticks.
Yeah,
it's like the same stuff.
It has rotisserie chicken and barbecue. I usually get the chicken wrap there because it's actually really good.
Yeah,
that actually is fine too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, that place I hear is pretty good, and I have eaten there once, and it's pretty good. I'm trying to think what else there is. I mean, there's
Confisco, but that's not really quick.
That's sit down.
Yeah.
So, same with Backwater. The stuff in Seuss is not very good. The stuff in The counter service available in Lost Continents, not great.
Yeah, Fire Eater's Grail.
Yeah, and then I'm just like besides you know, Potter and Simpsons in Florida Studios. I don't know.
But I mean, that's the same. If you go to any theme park, though, even to Disney, there's only a few places that really stand out because it offers something different and they're good. But any burger place at Disney is just the same.
If you go back and you look, like, if one, you have to be interested in kind of healthier options, and two, you have to be guys like us that know where they are. And it just kind of sucks at Universal that there aren't necessarily healthier, quicker, good options.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still thinking like there's still Monster Cafe, La Bamba, and Richter's. Like, can't we do better? Can't we update those while we're waiting?
Which is what Mike is saying. Give it 5 years, and they might put fresh chicken fingers or, you know, legitimate salads or vegetarian options in.
Fresh chicken fingers.
That's all I want. Just fry me some fresh.
It's like, yeah, these chicken fingers were made 3 days ago.
Yeah. Frozen chicken fingers aren't as good as fresh chicken fingers. We can agree.
Correct. Yes.
Okay, I see what you mean. So okay, I understand. Okay, I see where you're coming from now. But, still, I think we're now 6 years into Harry Potter. Why can't they upgrade these food options faster?
Their argument would be, we have them over there.
Or
did you not want beans for breakfast? We need some blood pudding.
Or the other argument is, we have upgraded our food options. Look at City Walk.
Yeah. Yes. We often do.
And yeah. The other argument is most Americans don't care.
Correct.
Or they desperately demand and want and like suggest to guest relations, we want more burger places. We want more this. Much. We want,
I have
want
a
more of that.
Semi serious question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there gonna be food at Toothsome?
Read anything?
I'm asking. Don't give me an answer, Joseph.
Yes, there will be food at Toothsome.
Okay.
There's gonna be chicken, steak, salads, pastas, all sorts of good stuff.
Okay.
It was like in the press release.
Dessert bar. Okay. Thank you for informing me. I'm gonna ask my question on Twitter next time.
I love you, Lane, but that was really dumb. Oh, okay. Let's go on to the next question. Mike Perry again and asks, and I think this one's for Brian, Cinespect or The Jungle Book Show? Which one is more forgettable?
Jerk. What a jerk.
But here's the thing. The Jungle Book Show could be worse and less forgettable because it's so bad.
Cinespect is great, y'all.
Cinespect's not great.
Wait, he's talking about Cinesphere, though, the globes.
No, he's saying Cinespect.
It's not even close.
He's saying Cinematic Spectacular or Jungle Book Show, which is more forgettable.
Ooh. Wow. Yeah, wow. I don't know. It's because with Jungle Book, for as bad as the show is, you got to appreciate, you know, the live performers. Mm-hmm. That's about the only saving grace behind it. You don't make any sense of it, but hey, you know, they're doing a good job. So I guess Cinematic Spectacular.
Wow. Cuz
it's movie clips and it's the only reason why.
Wow.
I know. It's tough.
I mean, you can see good and bad in both. I mean, hey, Cinematic Spectacular has fireworks. But I mean, yeah.
I mean, I will say the finale for The Jungle Book is pretty impressive with the tech use. Because the whole lagoon is surrounded by trees and projections of flames go on the trees. So like, okay, that's pretty cool. So there are some saving graces. That's why I didn't give it a full out F. I gave it a D-.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
The gentleman's F, as they say on the AV club.
The gentleman's F.
Okay, there we go. I don't know if Mike will ever be able to look you in the eyes again, so maybe that's a good thing.
I apologize.
Next question comes from the Tim Tracker. He asks us, what is your favorite Walt Disney World park and why is it Animal Kingdom at night?
Oh, gosh.
Tim Tracker was quoted with saying Animal Kingdom is the new Epcot.
Oh, gosh.
So here's another question, Brian. Would you take the middle part of Illuminations over the Jungle Book?
Oh, gosh.
Would you take the globe floating out and all the people walking on the little globe over the Jungle Book?
Oh, wow.
Does the globe present a better image than the water screen?
It is what it is right now. Have you seen Illuminations recently? Because they upgraded the globe, like maybe 5 years ago or so.
Yeah, I saw that. I know they did, and it's still crap.
Yeah, I mean they didn't slap retina screens on that thing yet, so it's better than 2000.
Man. I'll do Illuminations on that one.
There
just
you go.
Just because it has the fire barge,
and there's more restaurants there. Probably more. Yeah, there's more restaurants. I would argue to say there's more better restaurants. Or more restaurants at that quality as Tiffin's.
Huh?
And Yak and Yeti.
And probably
or
better
not,
value.
There's a dozen at the half step underneath it.
Yeah. So, there you go. Next question. Comes from Resort Ears. What is the long-rumored third gate to be... Gate be themed. This is a weird question. How it's worded. Sorry. What will the long rumored third gate be themed as at Universal Studios? Weird.
Wondersea Island.
There you go. This also plays in the Alex Show's question. I'm curious to hear some of your guys's what thoughts you guys may have on those articles from last week of the 475 acres.
We're pumped.
I really don't know what the third gate could be themed as.
DC Land.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's going to be all
stuff.
It's all going to be that rumored video game land, everyone. Theme park. Ooh. He was right.
It's not impossible.
Yeah.
But highly improbable.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll agree.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll see how Warcraft.
Give me a lot of DreamWorks. You don't spend $4 billion and not use
Warcraft
it.
That Warcraft is not going to do well. Oof.
It's actually doing well overseas, apparently.
They've released it overseas already?
Apparently so.
Huh. Go figure. Next question comes from Jonathan Cooper. He asks, any chance the Incredible Hulk opens before the end of the month? End of the month.
No.
0% chance.
End of summer? Probably.
End of the month. Yeah. Well, I mean, it says late summer, so why not?
Okay.
Any chance of the Incredible Hulk's opens before the end of the month? 0%. Everyone agree or what?
Yep.
Yeah, that queue still has a long way to go.
Yeah.
It needs to open by July 14th.
Seems like a reasonable time.
Yep. Next question comes from the Tim Tracker.
As long as Kong opens by then.
God, hey. Next question from the Tim Tracker. Best estimates as to how much money you'll spend at Nomads your first trip?
What about 20
me personally?
Bucks?
Well, for food and drink or just drinks or what?
I don't eat, so $20.
That's a good
yeah,
point.
We know you don't eat. You'll have you one drink and you'll nurse it and you'll just
drink
eat.
Plus tip. That's about right. Drink
well, especially
tip
now you know not to get the food too.
Yep. When you know not to get the food, that changes the price of your bar time. I'm going to say is it afternoon or is it dark?
He just says first trip. He just says first trip.
We'll go with afternoon then. I will spend $64.
Holy.
Is that including
Lane and Ashley?
Lane and Ashley. There you go.
Okay.
My wife can outdrink you. It's okay.
I was going to say like 30 to 40, probably.
Yeah, which is half of what I just said.
Yeah.
I mean, my bill was 50 with everything, so.
Okay.
There you go. Again, the Tim Tracker asks, put Soft's opening in order. Kong, Cobra, Mako.
Ooh. Mako Cobra Kong.
Mako Cobra Kong. Because they're done in the roller coasters and you can see it. Wait, is Cobra's Curse really held up from the queue? Is that all they have to do over there?
No, the queue's done.
The queue's done. So what's left?
Nothing.
Nothing? It's ready to go? Oh, well again, then...
Technically it is, but it's...
Are they going to open them in the same time?
There was supposed to be media previews on Thursday, and they canceled that with no ETA.
No.
So...
Do our friends at Orlando United get invited to these media previews?
We actually did. Oh, we actually awesome. Got that.
It, Tampa or SeaWorld?
Both.
Both? Oh, that's awesome. Big props. Y'all are working hard. I appreciate it.
Thanks.
Felipe is doing a great job.
Like 2 weeks
later. All those retweets 3 days later.
Yep, he's got a favorite. Got a favorite your whole feed. That's a real inside joke, everyone. Well, that's exciting. That'll be cool. Y'all get to go.
Yeah, it's about
time. I say Mako Kong Cobra.
That's my choice, too. Like, Mako's ready to go.
Yeah.
Obviously,
it's going to be fun.
But it's...
Yeah. So then Michael Sheehy again asked Tim and us, better nighttime show, Jungle Book Alive with Magic or Universal 360?
The magic memories in you.
Sophie's choice here, everyone. Sophie's choice.
Wow.
I'll go with the globe, the Cinespec, or whatever, Cinesphere.
Oy.
Wow.
Wow.
Wait, so you like Cinesphere better than Cinespec?
I'm only giving Cinesphere the edge just because it was used for Horror Nights.
Okay. Well, so was...
Yeah, no, but I mean, they really tried a show with Cinesphere. They actually made a show.
Okay. I feel like there's a lot of missed opportunities with the barges they have now. I don't know if it's just an issue of they're hard to maintain, or they just don't care, or there's no point, there's no demand, but there's a lot of things you could just do with those water screens, and they just don't do. Like, there's no reason why the Horror Nights stuff didn't continue past 2012. Right?
Yeah, they could have kept going with it. I don't know.
I think it's just a matter of, like, they want to send the maintenance crews home for 3 months during that time of year.
That's when they get to go on vacation.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just shut it down.
I mean, even if they just had the lasers hovering over the lagoon with the fog, that's more than enough.
That's very Horror Nights. Just put some red lights on.
Yeah.
Fog.
I mean,
play
that's
this music.
That's what they did for their Harry Potter stuff, is like they had the fog on in the lagoon with blue lights on, so it looks like it's fog coming up the London embankment. So I don't see why not.
I think they probably just send the maintenance crews home.
Yeah.
Like they just lay them all off that time of year, or they're doing something else for Horror Nights.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
But they just move them around.
They're just
cleaning
puppets and stuff.
Next question comes from SleepySteve95. He asks, Hasbro unveiled a new business strategy that includes more of their IP in theme parks. Do you see more Hasbro rides at Universal?
No.
What else is there?
Battleship.
G.I. Joe?
I don't want to offend this person, but I don't think this is a... They're going to put in Marvel, Universal / Illumination, and DreamWorks. Everything we see in the near to 10-year future is going to be one of those three things.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't they have... they have board games, though. I mean, granted, that's probably on the lower
Monopoly.
Of the total. Yeah, you know. Candyland.
I mean, there's a chance you could do a Simpsons-like land around that stuff.
I could see
a Simpsons slash Toon Lagoon land.
Awesome restaurant. I'm just imagining
ladders.
Imagine a board game themed restaurant.
Yeah, it would be the roller coaster restaurant.
Oh yes,
Chutes and Ladders with the Mack Rides roller coaster restaurant. That's a deep cut.
Yeah,
hold on, I'm reading some of their. some of their thing. Tinker My Toy, piece. Pound okay. Puppies, Play-Doh, Nerf, My Little Pony.
This is that's a juggernaut.
Light Bright, Lincoln Logs.
This is eerily similar to Cartoon Lagoon circa 1998. Like, hey, remember all the stuff we were growing up? Let's wait one generation and most people will forget it. Like, nobody younger than us knows what a Light Bright is. You're like, you mean an iPad?
I have the Light Bright app on my iPad. Does that work?
You do?
No, is that a thing? I bet you they do. I bet you they do have an app. Oh.
I'm going to look this up.
Look it up. Oh, another thing. They have Jenga, Clue, Candyland, Battleship, Dungeons & Dragons, and Magic the Gathering.
There you go.
Clue could work.
Especially the
Clue. It's like a dark ride.
Make Clue into the dinner mystery show.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Starring Audrey Tuson or whatever her name is.
There's no Light Bright. There is nope. We have an unsponsored app called Bright Lights, where you can just pick a color and put it. It's like a shitty Microsoft Paint. So that's the best you can do there.
Oh, darn!
A lot of flashlights.
So, next question comes from In the Loop, the podcast In the Loop. In the Loop Legend asks, how marketable do you feel the new Skull Island Reign of Kong is? / What do you see it doing for attendance at Islands of Adventure?
I think it's a juggernaut, man.
Okay, Brian, do you want to go into this some?
Yeah, I think it's going to do the same spike Transformers did to Universal. Or I don't think it's going to be marquee, but it's going to do enough to balance out the attendance between both parks.
And the people are already on property. You just need a people eater once they're already in.
Right.
Because even if people fly to property to go see Harry Potter, we'll stay for 3 days. Well, you got to do something for 3 days. And Transformers and Kong are going to be a just wonderful job of just eating people up.
Yeah, I agree. Joseph.
Brian's right. He's too smart for our show. Too much logic.
You want me to dim it down?
No, I don't. I just want Joe to come back.
Yes.
He's a lost soul.
I had to run to the restroom. That's what I do.
All right.
Cool. So I'm going through all this chatter now, all these things. Madigan's asks, do we prefer Pokemon Sun or Pokemon Moon? I don't know. I haven't played the games yet because those are coming out in the fall. And we just lost Mike, too. Awesome.
I'm an original.
You're an original?
I'll stick with the red.
Oh, you're a red guy? Ah. next question comes from Hate the Fly. He asks, if it can be arranged, will Joe go through a house at Halloween Horror Nights alone?
No, good thing you said that.
Yeah. I would.
Really? Sober?
Yes.
He would do it.
Like Texas Chainsaw.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay. now I don't know if I want to.
Yep.
No. That was just like, that was fun. That was like, hey, good for you.
All I'm saying is Drunk at Disney lost that bet. So that wouldn't be that good if, like, you know, he had to do that. Because he lost the bet. I'm just saying. Next one. PK Foxy asks, who would be the most entertaining next CEO at Disney?
Mark Cuban?
Donald Trump. Would be a good answer.
No, we're avoiding him. Let's go. Most entertaining. Any of the directors. I think Kathleen Kennedy would be entertaining because she would probably do a really good job and kick tail at it. Entertaining like chaos? Oh, here's the answer, y'all. Put old Mikey Eisner back in power. He's old. Jack. He cares less about what you think.
Yeah.
What about George Lucas?
George Lucas is actually dead and has been for 5 years.
That's that'd be crazy if George Lucas had just put ahead. It's like, guess who owns it all now, bitch?
Everyone. You remember when y'all gave me all that stock?
Yeah, remember that? I'm back now. Who's the slave driver now? American Graffiti 3 is coming to theaters.
Yeah.
Mike, you're back.
I'm here. Oh,
most entertaining. Also, you could say Matt Weaver because he would make killer theme parks.
Yes, he would.
He would make Disney theme parks great again.
Yep. Also, Foxy asks, is there any Disney IP other than Star Wars that could conceivably inspire themed food or drinks to sell in the parks?
I think anything they do, animation-wise, you could have food or drink. Because they've proven that you can put Olaf on anything and call it. But, like, cupcakes. Think about it. Like, Mona, you could... Now they know that you could put things in movies and people want to eat and drink them, and then you put them in the parks. Like, Mona could have the best pineapple ribeye you've ever seen in it, and they're like, could make us sing a silly song with Lin-Manuel Miranda about pineapple ribeye. And then everyone would want one, because, of course, it's delicious. Who doesn't want a pineapple ribeye?
So that reminds me that, do you see the Cars Land 3 description? The Cars... The Cars 3 description, like, involves Florida, and all Florida I can think of... Yeah, all I can think of is just like, oh, how convenient. Who'd have thought?
The joke behind that, is that Cars Land in Disney's Hollywood Studios is going to be all in one show building. So the joke is that this next movie is going to be all inside.
So it works, everyone. It'll totally work.
Watch the Florida 500 be a simulator.
That'd be weird. They just pull away and it's just like a giant arcade.
You mean with screens?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, screens. No.
It works because it's totally in the movie.
It's supposed to be like that.
So next question comes from Super Weenie Hut Jr. You can't mess this up. I've heard Disney's Animal Kingdom is a much better experience at night. Does the same hold true for hanging out with Joe? Mike?
No.
Any comments on that one, Mike?
Joe is much better at 9 in the morning.
Yeah, day
coffee.
Joe is much better. Post-coffee, pre-lunch is ideal Joe Matt.
Nighttime Joe is a little much. It's hard.
Oh, boy. Next question also comes from Super Winnie Hut. He asks, would you guys sue me if I started a barbecue-themed podcast called Pork Scope?
Yes. Immediately.
Yes.
I would just make a lot of jokes about it.
I'd listen.
Turnaround Mike asks, if Simpsons is part of Universal Studios Beijing, what do you think they would do with the property? I doubt that it's part of Beijing.
Isn't that a pretty American property?
Yeah.
And Beijing's is just getting big, flashy headliners, correct? They're just getting
worldwide.
Yeah.
IPs.
Yeah. Potter, Marvel, Jurassic Park,
Transformers.
Mm-hmm.
All those movies that we go, those were big and explosive. I didn't think they were that good. But if you didn't have to worry about languages, then they're really fun.
Exactly. And the last question comes from Gregory Lane Nichols. Is there any food at Twosome? If so, what kind? Asked 20 minutes ago.
and then I got hazed for asking a legitimate question. So apparently, yes, there is food. There's steak and chicken is what I was told.
And pasta, chocolate. And salads and all sorts of fun stuff.
Okay. Well, okay.
Yep. It's delicious.
That's it for me.
It'll be good. Awesome. So, Brian, what have you been up to today since you joined in late?
Lifestyle.
Well, let me tell you about my day. First, Andy and I decided he hasn't been to SeaWorld in a few years, so he thought it'd be a good day to check out Mako, finally. After
it was
about...
Hot.
Huh?
It was not a good day to check out Mako.
I mean, it kind of was. I mean,
well, it wasn't a good day to ride it.
Yeah, it wasn't a good good day to ride it. Okay. Also, 30 minutes in, we were both sweating profusely because it was 95 degrees outside. Then we decided to check out Universal before the storm came, and then we went to Wing House.
How was Wing House?
Delicious.
How much did you pay per wing?
A dollar, I think, maybe 89 cents, if I wanted to be really specific.
Pretty good.
I had to pay extra for the blue cheese, which made me a little sour, but hey, at least it was 69 cents, you know, not $5.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So, Mike, are you done sanding your wood?
No, I'm not even close to being done, but I was stopped consideration of your podcast, Joe.
Our podcast, Mike. Our podcast.
So how about that guy Harvey Mural? How great is it?
Big fan.
It's actually really nice. And the merch is really cool, too.
It's so good.
Like, the merch is, like, we almost bought the Tervis today.
Guy Harvey Tervises are the bomb.
Yeah, it's been a great decision to do that.
Well, I didn't even notice until today. They have two different Mako Tervises. One with the roller coaster, and then one that's just based on the mural.
I will get both of them. In fact, I just need to go ahead and get Meg to pick both of them up.
Oh, boy. Okay, so anything else, guys? Call it a night?
Except for me.
Brian? Mike?
I'm good.
Good?
Thank you for having me last minute.
Plug something, Brian.
Yeah, Brian, where can we find you at?
You can find me at Twitter, Bothering Parkscope, to join their podcast last minute at BrianManOU, or, of course, at Orlando_United to get theme park updates. And coverage for Cobra's Curse and Mako when media happens, because that's
God
new
bless.
To us.
That's Yay!
Yay!
Yay! Just look for the doofuses running around going like, hey! Mike, where can we find you at?
In my garage sanding wood.
There we go.
New house or old house?
Old house still.
Old house. Okay.
Lane, where can we find you at?
At Lane Nichols on Twitter, at GLane Nichols on Instagram, and Parkscope Professional Podcast.
There you go. You can find me at Parkscope Joe. You can find all of us at Parkscope and Parkscope.net. Go subscribe to us on iTunes, leave us a review, all that fun jazz.
Pause if you want. Negative, it's okay, but I'd like for some more people to start listening to us. That would make me...
Subscribe to us on Stitcher and iTunes and Podbean and any other podcatcher type thingamajigger. We need all the subscriptions.
Download them from a bunch of different locations. So download one copy from one location, one copy from another. Good. And then go to the library and download a copy.
Go to the Apple Store and use every device.
That strategy is called Saturday Sixing. Make sure to click on it on all the computers you have.
Throw up Parkscope.net on every Apple computer at the store so everybody can see our glorious artwork and great content.
Load up the podcast, start playing it on every computer, just blare it. iPads, iPhones, iPods, Macs, all of them. Put on the Apple
TV. Your mixtapes.
Apple Watches?
Create a mixtape of our podcast and just start just playing it in random boom boxes that you find. Or upload the mixtape to a SoundCloud with your hottest jams and beats, yo. There we go.
Put our logo on a light bright.
Yep.
Or bright light if you can't find one.
Project our logo on a really crappy water screen at an Animal Kingdom nighttime show. Whatever works. Just do it.
Close us out.
Mike.
Love Guy Harvey. Hate everything. Kungaloosh.
There we go. Boom.
Boom.
Yeah, yes, girl. Yes.
Yes, queen. Yes.